street.
I've got a Chinese calendar. Yes, I just hope that it is the same as our calendar here. Therefore, we need to look at that the report, and luckily, the committee secretary and Adam, I think they have already went on the draft report, which we need to assist them to finalize it, so that next week on Tuesday, we must agree, we must finish adopting it on Tuesday without any jiga-jiga. And also, of course, is that last week we said also that we had some engagement with the minister, that the minister will come and indicate to us is what are the circumstances that led to the situation between herself and the DG, that she was available today. Luckily, she's available, but not available. I received an apology of the minister for this morning in my computer over the weekend, but I thought that the committee secretary has received the same, but it looks like the committee secretary has not received anything. The apology has been sent to me directly only. But the minister is available here in Cape Town, just across at the cabinet. There's a cabinet committee meeting where she's supposed to go and present the her representations to the GPW. You remember that GPW wanted to be a state-owned company, and then the acting CEO has to explain last week about the circumstances of the to and fro on that particular matter in terms of the cabinet decision. Now, when she arrived back from Switzerland or so, then she got that item is on the cabinet committee of governance, that she's number two this morning in presenting that particular matter to that committee. And it is a matter of interest for the Department of Home Affairs, as it's the one that is in charge of that. And then she's not going to be here. And then we just hope that if ever she finishes early that side while we are still in session here, probably she may pop in, but she has apologized for this meeting. She would have time, and that. So it's, I'm sure it's just the apology is being printed. It's already gone to Eddie. Can you find it and then and probably read that apology? The other issue, I mean, is the delegation we have got from Home Affairs, we have got Luvuyo. How do you pronounce your surname?
Lupondwan. Yes.
Small horn?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And then on apologies, then Umam Nkomo is the one that we have got an apology for. And I'm aware of an apology of Umam Dambuzi. I'm not sure whether we've received it. Mom Dambuza, I think, also she sent some apology. I've received it. I don't know is why they have not come to the committee secretary. I'm sure now you are being undermined. You must flex your muscles. Yeah, I think that is the situation that we are sitting in, and then those that are not here, then probably they will join us as we move forward. Okay. And then if you have not yet received it, can you speak to her? Because it's just sitting in a computer. Honorable members, then can we ask then Adam just to lead us through the document? I think much of the body of the report is exactly what is being said to us, what we must do in terms of the BRR report. And then from there, then it is is what has happened during the hearing. And what is going to be too much key is the observations that we make on the department, IEC and GPW, and the subsequent recommendations. Can you move in that fashion, then Adam leads us on that one? You may proceed, Adam.
Good morning,
spend thanks. Time on what you need to spend time, not on what is just simply traditional or customary. Yes, Sam.
Good morning. Thank you, Chairperson. So I've just got the table of contents, so I'll just give a brief overview of what's in there, and then we can skip to the nitty-gritties. So there, as the Chairperson indicated, the introduction is just basically what our job is as Parliament and what the main job of Home Affairs is in relation to us. Then point two, so that's the first three pages. Point two in the table of contents that you'll see is the Department's strategic priorities. So this is both in terms of the NDP and their strategic plan, and also the specific priorities for the Minister, which I'll briefly go over to remind us. Then the annual performance plan is the most recent annual performance plan of the department. Whereas if we go into the Section 32 reports, these are all the quarterly reports that we've been receiving. We've received three briefings throughout the year, two of them covering two quarters. And again, each of these sections here have observations. And then the recommendations have all been moved to the end of the document. Then we have our annual report, which we've just recently done for the three Home Affairs and the two entities. Then the alternative sources of information, which members will remember from our work in the past year, is the State of the Nation Address. We didn't actually specifically deal with the State of the Nation Address directly, but it is in our plan. Our annual business plan. So those priorities are there. Then there's an overview of our oversight trip to the Eastern Cape. Then the budget vote from earlier this year, which includes the strategic plan from the previous year. The Standing Committee on Public Accounts also had a brief meeting with Home Affairs, which is of relevance to us, but there's no significant indications there. And then the recommendations are divided into those that are outstanding from the previous years, and then the recommendations emanating from all of these other documents throughout the year. So what we can do is we can skip straight to page 12, because you'll be familiar with all these other matters. We can skip to page 12, which is the first set of committee observations. This is the second draft only, so there might be some small typographical errors, which we'll fix up with the final document. But these are the observations emanating from the from the quarterly reports. These are primarily for this year. So the first quarter of this year is the one that isn't covered by the annual report. So I didn't include all the other quarterly reports because those are included in the annual report. So the focus here is for the fourth quarter of this financial year, which is April, May, June. So these are the observations we have. The DHA did not achieve all its targets for the first quarter. The matter of working on Saturdays by the DHA has not been resolved with the labor unions. But I've kept a system to enable DHA to issue smart ID cards and passports has not been rolled out to all offices, especially in rural areas. The current mobile offices do not have the necessary technology to take applications for smart ID cards. DHA partnership with financial institutions to take applications has not been rolled out to many branches. The process of permanent residence permits and visas still takes too long. Having insufficient immigration officials to conduct inspections is a serious concern, as is the downtime at the front offices of the DHA. The payment of supplies within 30 days is at 97%, which is an increase from the previous year. If you'll just remember from the annual report, they said something like 90%, so there is already an increase in the first quarter, but not 100%. Then the recommendations for the Electoral Commission there are that there are 2.9 million registered voters that still need to be captured onto the voters, that the addresses need to be captured onto the voters' roll. The IEC still needs to significant funding from National Treasury for harvesting of these addresses, as well as upgrading ICT, the ICT platform and the procurement of new registration devices. And then lastly, the government printing works was expanding to the African market for security printing, and staff and services provided at the GPW are being vetted by the State Security Agency, which is one of the outstanding recommendations from the annual report. So then in section 5, this is just an introduction. This is basically an overview of what we've just recently encountered with the DHA, which we in turn have also extracted into recommendations or observations. We can also just quickly go over the challenges. You will remember this from last week, so I'm not going to go into the substance, but just the headings. 5.3 on page 15 on the bottom there, the challenges faced by DHA. The first is the relationship with DHA and DIRCO. Although it's improved, there are still some outstanding paperwork and basically policies that need to be sorted out before this is finalized. Then the network connectivity and their relation to CETA are still an outstanding issue. Then the provision of office accommodation, again, now this relates to DPW, again, a long-standing issue which continues to be a problem for Home Affairs. And then human resource capacity constraints, which the restriction on spending, you remember, was in place until the end of January, so it's still affecting the department. It's still going to take some time before they can fill all the vacant posts. And in addition, now the money that would have been allocated for new positions might have to be spent to pay overtime or ex gratia to the staff who are going to be working on the weekends. Okay, so then we've just got a brief analysis there of the budget, how much of the money they spent, and then what the main things that they're spending it on. The main issue outstanding from that was unspent was an issue of an amount of 12 million rand for voice over internet protocol, which is just and video conferencing, which has been granted permission to be rolled over to this financial year. So that's not a significant issue. There was also that the matter of the irregular expenditure. Okay, so I think we can then, again, that's just a summary of our most recent interaction with the IEC and the GPW on their annual reports. And we can then, I think what I've done is I haven't put in the observations, which I can actually do, but basically the recommendations in turn relate to the, I'm just going to put observations in here. All the observations, like for instance in the previous section, are converted into recommendations at the end. So I just need to include the observations for the annual report, which I haven't done. The consideration of other sources of information. So the priorities from the State of the Nation address this year just to highlight those for you, page 19 in the middle there, where that's, on the bottom of the page there, A, B, C, and D, we're relating to Invest SA, so encouraging of investment in the country and reducing regulatory burdens to foreign investors. Operation Pikisa, which relates to the ocean economy, as well as the health, education, and mining sectors, contribution to the ocean economy. Tourism is a key driver, and the fighting of corruption. So these are big overall government programs to which Home Affairs contributes. So, and then there's just detail about those various initiatives, which we would have briefed the members on earlier in the year. Then we just had our oversight visit to the Eastern Cape. So this is just a summary of that. I think the final draft next week will be shorter than this. This is pretty much the entire report from the Eastern Cape included, which we'll narrow down and cut down a little bit on. But then we can move to the recommendations from that oversight trip, which are on page... Okay, what I've also done there is I've actually, I've also taken the observations out. The reason I've also taken the observations out in the past is it tends to be a duplication. So you observe one thing and then the recommendation relates to exactly the same thing. So they're included again in the recommendations, but I do actually need to include the observations in the body of the text. But you'll get the essence of the observations when we go to the recommendation section. This is then just we can skip through all of this budget vote report, and in fact let's go to the recommendation section now, right at the end, these are the observations on page 33. Are the observations emanating from the budget vote report and the annual performance plan of the committee. So again, these will be translated into the recommendation section, the ones that are still outstanding. So the observations there are again divided into the Department of Home Affairs, GPW, and IAC. The recommendations that we have for the Department of Home Affairs are that the requirement of registering birth within 30 days has not been publicized enough. Secondly, that the Department of Education continues to enroll children at schools without birth certificates, as well as SASA giving grants without requisite documentation. Thirdly, there are people who still have their identity numbers blocked by the DHA. There's a frequent breakdown in connectivity affecting delivery at Home Affairs offices due to its dependence on CETA. A significant part of the challenge is relating to DHA office accommodation. Relates to limitations by the DPW, as we've mentioned already. There are 200 million records that still need to be digitized in order to assist the DHA in fighting corruption. The payment requirement to supply cities with suppliers within 30 days by the DHA is not yet fully compliant, although very close, as we've mentioned earlier. The white paper on international migration needs engagement on an intergovernmental and regional level to facilitate its implementation. There have been negative impacts on the service delivery by the DHA due to the Treasury moratorium on filling of vacancies. And DHA has piloted a project of partnering with banks for the delivery of passports and smart ID cards, and the DHA has not set a clean audit as one of its annual targets. Then for the Electoral Commission, committee noted the IEC will be preparing for the 2019 national elections. Remember, this is the budget vote report, which is earlier in the year. So these recommendations emanate from earlier in the year. The IEC has planned for an unqualified audit target in their APP and in outer years, and not a keen audit. They plan for an unqualified but not a keen. On the election days, there are political parties that continue to campaign, particularly on electronic and print media. So the IEC is still facing challenges with proper procurement of goods and services. The IEC is making progress on gathering the addresses of voters as well, despite being significantly underfunded. The government printing works has planned to maintain an unqualified audit opinion for the 2017-18 and out years, again not planning for a keen audit. The GPW facility is now a national key point and security guards protecting its property have not been vetted. GPW is looting artisans and skilled staff, the private sector due to salary disparities. The construction of Pavilion 3 will be completed in 2017. The staff complement of GPW is only 563, which might be problematic as we get some more work in the African continent. And the GPW is yet to appoint a full-time CEO. Then we can briefly look there at the recommendation from SCOPA, the meeting that they had, that Home Affairs had with SCOPA at the end of November 2016. It still has relevance to us because the annual report has been published, but basically they were just explaining why they had it in their annual report late for the previous financial year. But that has now been resolved. As you know, they've had it in on time, and the audit challenges seem to have been resolved to a large extent. So it's not that significant. And then we move on to the recommendations, which is the main crux of the document. So we've included a lot here, so just to give options, so we can tailor these down to fewer according to what members think are important. I think the prioritizing, like for instance, 10 rather than 20 will make it more potent, so we can kind of say what the key issues are. So the first six that we have here are the ones that are still outstanding from the previous year. The one was the investigate areas experience high cost litigation in order to change legislation, regulations, or standing operating procedures to prevent such cases in the future. As you know, there's still long outstanding, very high monetary claims against the department, which are hanging on its shoulders and impacting on its audit every year. Secondly, encouraging the expansion of DHA services through banks, particularly in rural areas. This is still only limited. GPW to ensure that all staff are vetted to prevent breaches to security and corruption in the printing of smart ID cards, passports, and other security printing. This one seems to be addressed. It's still outstanding. They haven't vetted everybody, but they are in the process of vetting everybody. So I think we could probably take this one out. They're heading in the right direction. GPW to urgently report on filling the current CEO position since his contract came to an end. I'll just put make it past because it was a future recommendation and now it's a past recommendation. Came to an end on the 31st of December 2016. As you know, they're still an acting CEO. Secondly, inform the committee as soon as possible on the expected tabling of the draft state printers bill. As you understand it, and what the minister is dealing with today, there are some complications with this. Seeing as cabinet there's been a suggestion that the bill be split into two. So there is a delay in that, but I'm afraid still need to tell us exactly when we're going to have to deal with this bill, so we can plan accordingly. And the IEC is to increase voter education in underrepresented communities, to increase voter participation in elections. This one is still outstanding in the sense that although there is increased registration of voters by a couple of hundred thousand, the percentage of the actual voting age population that is actually registered is not complete. It's something like 60% of the people who actually can vote are registered. And then those ones who are registered don't always necessarily vote. So they say there's 60% participation, but that's 60% of the ones who have registered, and not everybody is registered. So there's still some work to be done there. Then the recommendations for 2018, and these are again extracted from all the various sections before. We said here that the Minister of Home Affairs should, 7.2.1, resolve the matters of DHA and the labour unions on working on Saturdays as soon as possible. This appears to be in process, but there are of course obstacles. Secondly, ensure that the live capture system is rolled out in all its offices, especially in rural areas, to phase out the green ID book. Ensure adherence to timeframes for processing permanent residence permits and visas. It's still taking too long. further motivate National Treasury to increase funding to the DDHA, especially in relation to compensation of employee budgets for the appointment of immigration inspectors, but employees in general. Consider deploying immigration inspectors in and around staff space to deal with undocumented foreign nationals. So this emanating from our oversight trip in the Eastern Cape. Further pursue the granting of an exemption from using CETA regarding ICT to address the matter of downtime at their DH offices. Again, despite having two meetings with DHA and CETA, these issues still seem to be a problem. Strive to reach 100% of payments to suppliers within 30 days. We saw that in the first quarter they were at 97% already, so they're getting closer, but it's not complete. Foster the relationship between the DHA and the DPW to expedite getting office space on behalf of the DHA, especially in the Eastern Cape. In instances where the DHA office is closed by the Department of Labour, the Minister should ensure that the DHA immediately deploy mobile offices so that services are not disrupted. 10 there. Have scheduled deployment of mobile offices to Jamestown, Stainsburg, and Fensterrand where there are no DHA offices, as well as schedule visits to farms, again from the Eastern Cape. Ensure that the current mobile offices are functioning properly while the new mobile solution is developed. So there are a couple of mobile unit recommendations here which could probably consolidate into one. 7.12, there, ensure that the issue of fraudulent documents of foreign nationals is discouraged by the DHA and the DHA stakeholder forums. 13, be aware of the amount of 700 Rand for per attorney test is too much and come up with innovative ways to conduct these tests in Eastern Cape and elsewhere, such as negotiating with the Department of Health for doctors to come from big cities on specific dates to conduct several tests in communities. 14, ensure that DHA negotiates for more office space in Burgersdorp and provides the municipality with a floor plan, and consider paying for office accommodation and services by the municipality, given limited resources in the municipality. Ensure that the posts of provincial managers and other critical positions are filled within a reasonable time frame. Work closely with the Minister of Health to ensure that all children born at health facilities are registered within 30 days. 17, ensure that the Department of Home Affairs follows supply chain management procedures when awarding tenders. 18, ensure that all people who have committed fraud and wrongdoing are suspended and criminally charged. 19, ensure that the preparation of an annual audit plan addresses all issues raised by the Auditors General in the annual report. Continue to motivate for more funding from National Treasury for the digitization of the remaining records in order to curb corruption. 21, ensure engagement with the approved white paper on international migration at an intergovernmental and regional level to provide policy frameworks for the drafting of new immigration and refugee legislation. And lastly, for Home Affairs, ensure striving towards a clean audit in its annual reports and plans. So they must plan for it and they must actually do it. Then government printing works, we only have 9 there. The minister should ensure that the GPW strive to receive a clean audit for the 2017-18 and outer years. Ensure that the asset recapitalization of GPW should commence as soon as possible prior to facilities being completed due to the time frame taken for the procuring of assets. Ensure that the GPW fills all 105 posts in the current financial year. Ensure that GPW appoints a suitable CAO as a matter of urgency. Ensure that National Treasury condone the expenditure related to the construction of Pavilion 3. Ensure that GPW strive for a clean audit in the coming financial years. And ensure that irregularities in relation to the contract and tenders issued by the previous CEO and CFO are investigated. And then lastly, for the Electoral Commission, ensure that IEC captures all addresses of voters in the voters' roll before June 2018 to comply with the Constitutional Court order. ensure that National Treasury reconsider funding IEC for the ICT platform upgrade and for the harvesting of addresses of voters. Ensure that the IEC strive towards a clean audit in their 2017 and 18 annual reports and onwards. Ensure that the IEC tables amendments to the Electoral Act as soon as possible, if needed, in preparation for the 2019 provincial national elections. Ensure that the IEC consider amending legislation to include repercussions and improving the definition of campaigning done on voting days, particularly through various media. And lastly, ensure that the IEC addresses its procurement challenges prior to the tabling of its annual report. So that's what we have in a very rapid nutshell. I'm open to your feedback.
No, thank you very much. And what I've just realized is that you have purposefully smuggled the self-spread report into this report. And I think we just need to keep them separate. And also strive that the self-spread report and then gets approved as well next week before this one. And then only in this BRR report we ensure that it is only resolutions which honorable members that were not there can agree to them, rather than to make them to consider recommendations of a VC that they were not there. It will be very, very unfair to them, so that we continue and do the work on their behalf in terms of the third spread as we have visited the area, and confirm on the observations and agree on them, then extract them now, those that are appropriate into the BRR report. I think that's the spread oversight report. It also still carries the same weight as this BRR report in terms of being Parliament's resolutions, because it's a separate report that will go into the House, agree to it. If members also want to talk to it, then we can always request to debate it inside and also highlight all those issues that were there. But I think it will be appropriate that we separate them and make sure that we treat them separate, and so that we don't have a very lengthy recommendations that are not manageable. But on the separate reports, I think it will be manageable. Honorable members, you have heard Adam, but Adam on page 34. On page 34, 7.1.3. Oh, mind you were saying that it's matters that were outstanding from the previous BRR report, but I'm sure is that now GPW has said that they have got all of them vetted now. They make sure that when you move forward, and then 7.2.8. I will try and lobby members to nationalize that recommendation. Instead of being in the Eastern Cape, then we indicate that in the rural area, so that it does capture all areas where those offices are required. Yes, we have established this in a particular province, but then we nationalize the recommendation. That's what I'm trying to lobby members to think about it. And then on 7.1.4, Yeah, 7.1.4. I think we were informed that is the position of the CEO as well. It has been advertised, I think. And then there is an agency from the minister to see it appointed, filled by the end of October. I think is that we must just simply respond to it as we move forward. Then is 7.2.26. I think that word is suitable. I think we just need to remove it.
Sorry, say that again?
We know that, we know what you wanted to say, but it will send the wrong message when it is read by anybody. Where you say ensure that GPW appoint a suitable CEO. That means the previous CEOs were not suitable. And that's what that's the meaning that you can get. I think we should just simply say GPW appoint a CEO as a matter of agency to make the transition. I think also that to make the transition we can remove it. It should not have a condition. It's just that they must appoint a CEO to run the entity. I think it's just up to the word agency, as a matter of agency, it's fine. When you move up as well, 7.2.18, I also want to know the honorable members when they start speaking to look at it. That we have that sentence, it reads, or it better proposed now to read, ensure that all people who have committed fraud and wrongdoing are dealt with. It's not prescribed, the manner in which they should be dealt with, because then that will be problematic, because others may need to be dealt with by ordinary disciplinary process. And so is that they must just simply be dealt with, and then appropriate steps of dealing with those officials then will then be applied. As long as you just call for, you call it consequence management. That's the buzzword of nowadays. Yeah, I think that is what I just wanted to indicate as well. It's the issues of the building of the pavilion tree. I think you have called for the condemnation of it, but you have missed. We should not miss the condemnation of the regular expenditure in respect to the headquarters of the IEC, given the court ruling that has actually emerged, that the IEC can't get out of that build, that lease. They can't get out of it, and then they have to actually occupy, and then they must pay. But then that payment then has to be condoned, so that it doesn't continuously be regarded as irregular. I think we just need to make sure that our recommendation as well capture that one. That is under 7.2.27. If we could just simply put them together. Okay. All right, as in vain again, honorable members. Well, that's the kind of, you want to be first to break the ice. You may proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to raise only two matters now. The condemnation of this pavilion 3 and the condemnation of
Riverside. In fact, the committee agreed that we request them to send a special IC Riverside to send the documents to the secretary, which means we cannot support any wrongdoing without understanding, no matter the court have ruled on this matter. And really, condemnation must not be done willy-nilly. This is corruption. And even if you go to the to the law of condemnation, it stipulates the requirements of applying for condemnation. So I don't want to discuss it again. We have agreed that we must get those documents. So we will be talking about something that we've got a clue about it, not just to be briefed. We don't want to be lied like the ESCOM matter, whereby officials just come and lie to us thereafter they get rid of this thing. This is corruption. Condemnation is clear. We cannot promote wrongdoing. As parliamentarians, our work is to do oversight and to help this department accountable. But it seems as now we have opted ourselves to be the companions of corruption. Chair, I'm saying that this one is not our argument. It's not our recommendation, in fact. Our recommendation is that we are waiting the secretary to give us that document now, because it's something that we requested last week. Number two, this one of Pavilion 3. Our recommendation was the same, to say that they must charge and pursue the person who has done this and get that money from him. Even if you can go to the condemnation requirement, it's part of it. It's part of it to say that if it's not allowed by treasury, the person who has done that must be pursued, charged, and brought the money back. But to now that we are condoning that people must just steal the money and then we will apply for, is an abuse of law. What is happening here is unlawful and is abuse of law. We should not do that. We are still waiting for this document before we can agree about this thing. So I suggest that we cancel this thing. It's not our recommendation. I thank you for now, Chair.
Honorable Mkhalipi.
Ngiyabonga, Chair. Thank you very much, Chair. Yes, I agree with Honorable Gekane. That is not our recommendation as a committee. But I'm on page 34, Chair, on 7.1.1. I don't think it's a correct capturing when on the sentence when you say in the state area of experiencing high cost. I thought we said last week, on the 31st of October, we are going to receive all litigation cases that are coming in front of the committee. I think it must be changed as well. 7.1.2, Chair, I don't think is our recommendation.
Let me just help you.
I think you must just follow on 7.1 on top. These are matters that have been resolved in the previous DRR report. Am I correct, Dada?
Unresolved.
Yes, and resolved. But then they have not yet been addressed. You're just capturing what has been resolved in the previous BRR report. That's all what he's saying. Oh. It's not new resolutions or recommendations.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yes, you are just capturing what the new ones that you are doing is on page 35 at the top, starting from the top 7.2.
I'm also want to clarify that one, Chair, in order to have a satisfaction in the committee, 7.1.1. Although I do take what you are saying, but I said I want to also to remind this committee that we resolved last week that on the 31st of October,
yes,
so you are going to receive all the petition. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So because Chair, English is not my first language, so I wanted to clarify that as well in order to check if you are on the same understanding. 7.1.2, Chair, although you also have clarified it's from previous budget review recommendation, I don't recall when you say through banks only on the issue of rural areas, because it can never be, it can't be saying to people of rural areas the DHM service through banks only in rural areas, you can't achieve what you want to achieve. Thank you, Chair. And yes, I agree on 7.21. That one I agree fully, that the minister must look on at that issue, because it's still an unresolved issue. Chair, I don't see any. I just propose that because you also spoke about the this thing of Eastern Cape that is being put there prematurely. So I agree with your proposal to say that instead of saying Eastern Cape, we must say rural areas in a nutshell. But there was an issue regarding the mobile in the department. I think it also covers all provinces. If it can also be added on those recommendations, that the minister must look at it. It came very strongly in all provinces, the issue of mobile. I don't see it here. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. And Honorable Figler.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning to everyone. Chairperson, I think we missed out something here on the provincial managers that are acting in other branches. I think the committee was unhappy about that. Maybe I thought it was going to be put into these recommendations. And then the other stars...
Just before you go too far, then can you look at 7.2.15 and see whether it's still...
Yeah.
And 7.211 for Honorable Captain Khalidi.
Okay,
maybe I think I'll join Honorable Kalipi again, say English is not my first language.
Okay.
It's called as my language. Okay, the other thing, Chairperson, we need to emphasize on the shortages of staff, especially the front staff in the Home Affairs offices and Immigration plus Inspectorate. So that we have to emphasize it. I know I've read somewhere that it was, we mentioned it, but we have to be, like, we must do it nationally, not only one province. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. You're done?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Of course, it may not... It may be due to that the reason you have given of your the English being what? Because 7.2.15, it talks to provincial managers and other critical positions. Remember why it did not, I think it did not make the recommendation to be a blanket to every staff member. It's because ourselves, you are aware that the department is not properly funded to be able to fill all positions. And then, but with that knowledge, you still call for the provincial managers and critical staff. Otherwise, the department won't be able to run. You can as well close shop. So that's why, given those limitations, but the critical positions as well as the provincial managers, at least there must be a movement in filling those positions. I think that's what 7.2.15 is trying to call.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm concerned about this 7.2.12. To my understanding, when you say that, ensure that the issue of fraudulent documents for foreign nationals is discouraged. It discouraged by the DGA and the DGA stakeholder forum. The word discouraged to me it means the same thing as condoning. If you say just to be discouraged, to my understanding, you must just say that to be dealt with the people, the employees who are
in this. What is the number of that recommendation?
Page 35, 7212.
Oh, 2112. Okay.
Talking to the discouragement. Discouragement to me means the same thing as condoning, as if it's something that can be done, but just to be discouraged. So it doesn't show the very critical part of it, because that is a crime, to my understanding, when talk about fraudulent documents. And then we say that just to be discouraged. Can we rephrase the very English sometimes? Yes, better. Because I understand why we would discourage. In the sense of talking about the criminal charge, to my understanding, can we rephrase and write something else to make it more strictly, more than saying that to be discouraged, especially that we're now talking about the stakeholders forum, in such a very important thing that talks to fraud. Secondly, also the 7.213. Listen that to this paragraph, I'm worried about what we're saying about from big cities. What do you mean by big cities? Because when I say there must be, at least you must look at the 700 rand per test, which is too much. And now, at the end, now we're talking about for doctors to come from big cities, only on specific days to conduct several tests. I'm concerned because when you say, when you talk about the people were saying that it's difficult even to go there because you pay 250 rand to go there. At the same time, we are supposed to pay this 700 rand for this paternity test. To me, to talk now about the big cities, it means that now we are reducing we are removing the rural areas from the issue. But as mostly those are the people from rural areas that were complaining about this issue of traveling long distances to pay this 700 rand. Maybe also that, as much as we include that paragraph, but we must also take into consideration to specify about the rural people, rural communities who are saying due to the there's no proximity in this issue, also they have to pay for the transport to those areas in spite of being of paying the 700 rand, which you say it must be looked at by the Department of Health. Thank you, Sir President.
Thank you. Shouldn't we just simply complete your recommendation 7.2.12? You say instead of discourage, you say dealt with. Is that okay? Does it make sense? Is there anyone who has got a problem with replacing discourage on 7.2.12 with the word dealt? Ensure that the issue of fraudulent documents for foreign nationals is dealt with by the department and the DHA stakeholder forums.
You prevented it.
Yes. Deal with it. Well, whatever that deal with it means. If they have to get formal documents because it is agreed, it is lawful, then they get them formally. If they are getting it unlawfully, then they get locked up. Whoever is issuing them, then they deal with it. At least that way it covers both directions of dealing with the challenge. And then 7.2.13, the last part of that sentence is that such as negotiating with the Department of Health for doctors to go to rural areas on specific days to conduct the test. Is that what you want to hear, ma'am?
Yes.
You want to hear that. Is there anybody that have a problem with that? None. Okay. Ma'am Miss.
Good morning, members. Thank you very much, Shepherdson. I'm on 7.2.5 because we already agreed about removing the stack sprays there. But the issue of undocumented foreigners, we know that they are all over the country. And since we know that there are few immigration officers around our provinces, I will propose that the sentence remains the same, but we can only remove the text page. We can consider deploying immigration inspectorate in and around all provinces, since we know that we've got few immigration inspectorates. I'm not sure if...
I do hear you, Honorable Nisi, but then it should be flowing from 7.2.4.
Yeah.
7.2.4, then it talks to generally the issue of inspectorate, appointment of inspectorate, immigration inspectorate, and then this one, shouldn't you then propose that it goes with the report of the Sterkspruit and become a recommendation in the Sterkspruit one, but 7.2.4 can still deal with what you are recommending.
Yeah, we can only remove this 7.2.5.
Okay. Proceed.
Yeah. Okay. No, I'm covered. I can see that 7.2.4 is dealing specifically with the issue of appointing immigration inspectors. No, I'm covered.
Okay.
We can only remove the 7.2.5.
And goes with the report of the oversight. All right, and then Mekhe.
Thanks, Chairperson. I've got a different view on this sentence that you want to remove. Noting that what we observed there about that was borders, that there's no border here. There are no clear borders there at Stoke Street. When you look at Telebridge, to my understanding, I think we must leave as it is that sentence, because also it adds weight on what is happening there, so that border, those borders can be taken consideration of, because what we saw there, people just moving there, no borders, they're just moving from Lesotho to State Street. If we can also let it be there, so that there is a specific, so that it is really taken into consideration, because that is very, even if we say we are having this PNA, I don't think it will work in the issue of East Expedge versus Lesotho. So, I'm pleading the Honourable Minister, can't we leave that one also? It must be there. And say that we know what is happening here and we saw it ourselves. That, yeah, thanks.
A note on that, in terms of whether to include the state report or not, it's actually part of the requirements of the BRRR that we include our oversight reports from the year. So if it's in a big or small format, it doesn't matter, but we have to include the oversight report. It's part of our requirements. So we can include this one. What I suggested in relation to this was that consider deploying immigration inspectorate in and around border areas to deal with undocumented foreign nationals. That way it covers not only Stags Bay, but those border areas in general. But we can also do that. So if they border areas such as Stags Bay, and then so that makes it both broad and specific.
Chair.
Yeah, so I'm hearing you. I think what we may need to do,
honourable members, is that we may have an extract that the committee did visit Sterkspruit in the BRR report, but it must be a very small paragraph. And then this specific one, but it has to be doctored to talk to the immigration inspectorate in a national format, not a provincial one like as it sits here. But then this specific one that we have now is 7.2.5, as is, it goes with the straight oversight report, because that one speaks to a particular VC, to a particular corner. But in this BRR report, because we are speaking now at the national report, and they're not provincial visit, and then we can modify it just to remove the stealth spray and then to just indicate to similar border community areas. I'm sure Mam Kenye, we may have seen only there at Telebridge that there is no fence on the side. But remember that right around the whole Lesotho, there is no fence. There is no fence. There is another one, is what Kasha's Neck or whatever. People just go through the official border post on their own will. But actually on the side, there's nothing. And then, much the same as other areas surrounding us as well. I'm sure you heard about Ngwavuma. There around Swaziland and northern KwaZulu-Natal, that the other people were even proposing to build a wall like Donald Trump's wall, you know. So there are other similar areas where there is absolutely no fence and whatever. And I'm aware that in Swaziland as well at Oshuk, unfortunately that in the past around 80s, at Oshuk border post, we just simply avoided going through the border, just go down on the river and just walk up underneath that fence and get into Swaziland with no problems. So those kind of things, they did happen in the past. And so it's just simply raising it to the level of to be inclusive to other areas. I think it is appropriate, as you say, is that we just need to improve the boundaries, the borders of our country. But we know at the end of the day it's going to be a costly thing just simply to put a fence rather than manage migration in a manner that even if there is no fence there, but it's, we can still manage movement of people in and out the country. Yes, I think anyone who still has something to raise. In the nutshell, also I'm just requesting that the report of the stealth spray it should come to honourable members so that they can pay attention, so that next week on Tuesday as well we also pass it and make sure that it goes out. Honourable members, any other further talks on this? But the question of Honorable Kekana, the condonations, I think we need to talk to this one just a little bit openly. The condonation of the expenditure does not mean that the wrongdoing is cancelled or the wrongdoing cannot be investigated. It's an administrative matter. Because what we are sitting with is with the IEC building, you're sitting with the problem that the issue of the process of appointing or securing the building, I think it was raised by the Public Protector's report. And that is the one that led to the previous chairperson, I think, even quitting the position, if you still remember properly. And then the current leadership of the IEC, if I heard them correctly last week, is that this, because there is this view which has been confirmed by the big judges, that the recommendations of the public protector are binding and need to be implemented. And also on that particular judgment, we were told that it is out of order for Parliament to investigate what the public protectors investigated and made a recommendation. If we still remember that, they say you cannot second guess the recommendation of the public protector when we try to handle that issue of Nkandla or whatever. We were chastised seriously by the court, the Constitutional Court, that we were trying to second guess the report of the public protector. Hence, the recommendation of the public protector in relation to the procurement of that building. Then the leadership tries to implement that by then going to court to actually set aside the lease or the agreement of using that building in terms of the public protector findings. Then the court says, no, you can't do it. You can't opt out from that lease agreement. I think the reasons have been given, I think, about the cost of doing all that and the expectations that has been created by the length that the IEC has occupied the building, and then all those. We will just get those reasons, you know, it's the whole version of the report as we have requested that it should be given to us. But the fact of the matter is you can't change the ruling. The ruling cannot be changed. We can only just appraise ourselves and then look at the possibility of actually either requesting certain people to be pursued, but the court is as finished with it. It says, IEC, you can't get out of the building. What it means, now what it means to me and you is that the court has said IEC must continue to use that building in terms of the lease agreement. And when they continue to use that building, they have to pay rental. Now, but the rental on the other side, the Auditor General says, for me to look at this payment for this rental to be regular, you must get the Treasury or whoever to condone it that it is correct now for you to utilize this building in terms of the lease agreement. Now it's an administrative matter. That's what we are saying. They can opt out to correct it because then that would be undermining the court ruling. Well, if they opt out of that particular building. And then when they stay in, they can't stay in free. They have to pay for the rental. And then the rental is now seen by the Auditor General as irregular. Hence, the administrative matter then has to be done, because all what needs to be done is to say, we know you are paying rent to this particular building, then in order to operate the business of the IEC, and hence there is no way that you can't pay rent when you are actually occupying this, and you can't get out because the court says so, you can't get out. That is the basis that we are saying. The question how the building has been procured, I mean, at any given time, people can still be pursued. Although is that already the chairperson has been pursued and then the chairperson has gone out, but it doesn't mean that if there is fraudulent or criminal cases that can be pursued, it doesn't mean that that can't be pursued. It's just simply the recognition of the expenditure. And then the other one of the GPW, I think that is the one that we were told that at the end of this particular year, that contract comes to an end as well. And then the question, of course, is that must actually linger to us as well is, do you then intervene now to try and alter a service provider now whose contract is coming to an end in 2 months' time and put the institution to embark on a new procurement activity to complete the remaining work that is left with 2 months, then the entity may actually spend more. Because just simply to procure, to get into a tender process, it is a lot more expensive. So these are the things is that that are in front of us. And generally there is also a distinction between irregular expenditure and wasteful or fruitless expenditure. These are two things that are different. Those that have tried to school me was that wasteful or fruitless expenditure, that it is wrongdoing that somebody has to pay or pay back the money. Irregular expenditure, you may find that the money actually paid for something that you want to be done. It has to be done. The only thing is that it has not been done in accordance with either your plans or your programs or with the relevant signatures of approval by certain authorities. But it doesn't mean that the money has been spent on wrong things, no. It may have been spent on the right thing, but only that it lacks either approval or it is not in the APP or whatever. So that distinction is still needs to, we need to just be aware of it. Kekan.
No, thank you very much. First of all, Chair, this thing is, according to me, is highly suspicious. Because I'm afraid now that it seems as we will go to a debate that I don't want. Let me inform all the PC members. All the PC members must know one thing, and all of them, they will come to a certain conclusion. The judgment was not granted in Constitutional Court. It was granted in High Court in Pretoria, Gauteng High Court in Pretoria. And it's not true that the matter cannot be challenged. High Court set a matter, and then thereafter, if the department is serious about pursuing this thing, they were supposed to appeal the judgment until to the Constitutional Court, because this thing emanated from the remedial action. If it was a High Court, yes, no one can challenge it. But it's not even a Constitutional Court, it's a High Court that took a decision. I just want to correct that so that the members must be clear, all of them. Because this notion of saying that, you see, they came to report this matter thinking that, no, we must sway the members in this way. By saying this matter was concluded by the court, we can't do anything. And to me, it's suspicious. It shows that one person was desperate to make sure that this matter goes away. Maybe they are the beneficiaries of this. If things were done irregularly, no matter of how much we will spend to change, let us dump all wrong things and do the right thing, irregardless of how much we will spend. Because of here we are talking about the money of the taxpayers, and which means we will be saying that no matter there was irregularities here, this man is entitled to this money. No matter it's wrong, let him be given this money. Irregular is true, that much is the way you define it, but it's wrong. You can go to any dictionary. It's 100% wrong. You are promoting something that is totally unaccepted. So that with good spirit, let us maybe this one, let us shelve it and go back and refresh on it and come back. Maybe we'll come to another conclusion, because I'm afraid to differ with my colleagues. The issue is that it's wrong. Let us shut this matter and go to sit down and look this matter in different in our different platforms. Because continuing with this matter, I can tell you, is something that even if another person can take us to court, they are going to succeed on this matter. There will be no judge in terms of law. According to law, there will be no judge that is permitted to condone anything that is wrong. Never ever. So the another judge will come to a different conclusion. And we were told by Constitutional Court that the remedial action from the public protector is lawful. So why are we now we are trusting the lower court? The High Court is the lower court. Before you can even go to Constitutional Court, you have to go to appellate court. No. I'm proposing, let us shelve this matter and go back to our other platforms and come back, because we cannot be seen condoning this thing. I thank you.
Is there anyone that wants to speak to it? And but I think it's we just need to make it clear, honourable members, is that the recommendation of the public protector can only be set aside by a court of law. A court of law. Not necessarily the constitutional court. A court of law. Anybody who has got any problem with any recommendation of the public protector then has to actually resort to our courts then for the review of that. And now the situation we are sitting in, although if I sympathize with the version that you are putting, Honorable Kekana, the question is the IEC that must go back to court and say, the High Court, we are not happy about your outcome.
Yes.
But the problem is that the IEC has said to us, they said, no, thank you, we are done, we are no longer going to spend money on this matter. Mm. Now, how do you then go to court and ask for the review of the issue that the IEC took to court, and when they got the court ruling, then they decided to say, no, we end here. We're no longer pursuing the matter in relation to setting aside the lease agreement. You see, because remember that it involves payments and lot of that and get cancelled and whatever. This particular court is the IEC that went to court and ask that they want to implement the public protector recommendations, but then you have got the landlord who actually say, no, you got a lease with me, you can't opt out. That's why they went to court and have the court to actually confirm their view that they want to opt out of the lease agreement in the quest of implementing the public protector recommendation. Then the court then says, no, you can't opt out. Actually, now the landlord has been emboldened. And then, because there is a court that has the power to actually review the recommendation of the public protector that has said, no, you can't go. There is a whole lot of reasons that have been put in there. And then, but then now, if the person who is the IEC that must pursue the line that you are raising and is not prepared to do it, how do you then do it? And then I think it's we just need to, as you're saying, is that you are making a recommendation. Let's hear what other members are saying, is that we not include it here, and then and let's see, you know, how do we get out of this. Let's hear Honorable Hussein, and then and Honorable Gumede also wanted to say something.
Yeah.
Chair, I agree with the sentiments that have been expressed. I mean, the problem is we've become so accustomed to this thing of irregular expenditure that we pass it by as if it's nothing serious. You get this thing called irregular expenditure, and then fruitless and wasteful, and then disclaimer. It's like bad, badder, baddest. You know? So we don't focus on the bad, because there's so much of bad. We now focus more on the badder and the baddest, if I can put it like that. So I agree. I think we as a committee should make a strong statement on what our position and our views are regarding that specific issue. I mean, the IEC, they make their decisions based on whatever information is in front of them. That's their job to make that decision. But our job, I think, is to express our strong views on it, whether we agree on what they're doing or not. They may choose not to take our concerns or our views into account. That's up to them. But I do agree, I think, that we should express a more stronger view on what has transpired there. Otherwise, you overlook these things, and then departments don't worry about the bad. They know that we, as the politicians, focus only on the better and the baddest things. So I think you should go back to ground zero, so to speak.
I just wanted to refer honorable members on page 18. Page 18, section 5.6, the second paragraph. And then, yes. That paragraph, that we read it and understand exactly what we have said. We haven't called for this particular court ruling to be sent to us just for Mnathi and whatever. When it comes to us, we are going to speak on it. And we are also having a discussion that's going to ensue on litigation, which this may be part of it as well, that have ensued within this particular family. I think that is probably that is where one can recommend that we would make all sorts of recommendations. But when it comes to this amount that we are speaking about, the amount now and the situation we are fighting, we can't change the situation. You can't change it. And certain things have happened. There are rulings that have actually gone out, and then it says, no, you can't help it. In terms of just simply viewing this amount. And this amount that you're talking about is the one that stops the department or the entity to get an unqualified report. And there's nothing they can do about it on their own. And then that's why then ourselves then we say, no, administratively, let's clear that. When the court ruling comes to us, then we come and debate and get the nitty-gritties, what has actually happened, blah, 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 and whether we end up recommending the SIU or whatever, then to actually investigate the matter, it is in our hands. But an administrative matter, that is very little that you can do about it. They occupy the building, they are in the building, they are running the IEC, then they have to pay for occupying that building. They wanted to get out. Then some court then says, no, you can't get out. So they are between two, a concrete and a steel, two plates squeeze. And then they say, no, we are doing almost everything else to get a clean audit. It is only this burden that there is nothing we can do about it. And it will go with us until the end of that lease, which we are told we can't get out of it. And then the one of GPW, at least is the better, is that they will go with that expenditure to that particular contractor only until to December. And then that problem then will just disappear on its own. And then those are just the situations that we find ourselves. But I still insist, there is nothing that stops us when we look at the actual details of the situations around them, to make a recommendation for further investigation by the Hawks or whatever, and be more specific on the matters to be investigated by the relevant structures. There shouldn't be a problem in doing that. Hence, you want to talk to these litigations and the rest.
Chair, thank you very much. I thought that you dealing with the recommendations that is in front of us today.
Yes.
And this matter is not in front of us today. Otherwise, I'm subjected to be corrected.
It's in front of us.
It's part of the recommendation.
The one of the condonation, yes.
Where?
Can you just assist me? We talk about the condonation for the DPW on 17. What? And then now
we
of the IEC. But I think one of them, then I think we've just been informed that we must also include it.
Yes, that's the one that I want the IEC
to be included, because we only had for GPW.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. Yeah. At the end.
Yeah.
Okay. No, Chair, I was going to say that again, because my understanding was that is not part of our recommendation. And if I remember very well, this issue was raised by Honorable Kumede last week. He even mentioned that let us take a collective decision as a committee. You remember at the end of the meeting last week. But now, I don't think we must do it, because as we have already clarify the matter that here on page when you talk about IEC, page what? On page 18, it even says that a copy of the judgment will be sent to the committee secretary. The commission emphasized it needed to a condition from National Treasurer. So we can't just rush to this decision to be added on the recommendation while we have not even satisfied ourselves as a committee member. Because this is not a small matter, Chair. As much as we do understand a little bit about the matter, but the fact of the matter is that it has not come before us as the committee in order to get more clarity. Because when you read to this section, there is a lot that IEC must also answer in order for the committee to have a full information regarding this matter. So I will also align myself with the suggestion that let us not put on our report, because it's premature. And we are going to recommend something that we don't have full information with. And if we are talking about money, 38 million, 36.9 million related to the Riverside Office Park, other members, they do have better understanding than other members. So the best way is to get a clear picture as committee members and then get one information so we can have on the same page. So I will just suggest that let us not include on our recommendation, Chair. Thank you.
Honorable Khalifa has really covered me on the issue of the judgment that we are awaiting, and that's what I'm going to say. Noting also when we look at that, because that is $4 million over a 10-year period, that's a lot of money. We're on the same page. And also there is this issue of tender orders at the test for a shorter period, and also there are mistakes. Here we have got a problem of these qualified audit opinions due to supply chain management in almost all these issues. Really, I think to my understanding, if we can really get this copy, maybe we can say, yes, we can edit there. Because really, if we are still having gray areas here on this issue, we will not be on the same path. I also agree that can we serve this recommendation based on this paragraph that talks a lot. Because when you look at this problem, almost all these entities have got the same problem of supply chain management, which there is a lot of non-compliance to the rules. Yes, I understand here we have talked to that issue of compliance with the rules of procurement. So I think really, to my understanding also, we must just have this judgment, so that this copy, so that we can move forward. I share the same sentiment. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, let me start by saying that Kelaka Leoka speak, which means I share the same sentiment to say that why we requested the document, because of we don't even know when they put this matter before the court, what they wanted. What did they wanted? So Number two, I'm adding on what we have requested. Number two, through you, Chair, let us again, because I understand that all of us, we are not clued up in terms of what is happening in the legal fraternity. Let us get a legal advice in that meeting, so that to have one understanding. So I recommend the legal opinion issue. Number three is that when are we receiving the document? Then I propose. Okay, this thing, since it doesn't have an end, it means that we want documents, but we don't have dates. It means that this can take even next year. We can receive this document next year. So through you, Chair, let the Secretary make sure that before the end of Thursday, we produce a document, all of us. So next week when we meet, then you can arrange that we meet with IEC separately and talk to this net. After we have been briefed alone by legal advisors to give us a legal opinion on this net, but I'm still concerned about this thing. And my information to the committee is that since the matter has been dealt by a high court, then we can even tell the IEC that this thing must even go to constitutional court to be changed, because the law works on differences. And the Constitutional Court has set the precedent. So this is still my argument, that there is no this myth of saying that this thing is closed, we can't do anything. No, no, no. They must come here. I'm still saying that. It can be even taken up. So our role as MPs is to do oversight, not to defend the department, is to do oversight on them and make them accountable. So it's what exactly we want.
Amen.
I thank you.
Amen.
Yes, Honorable Gumede, I think you'll come in. I think, Honorable Members, this court ruling, I think AG and Adam, if they go into the computer system, they should be able to get it. Yes, they should be able to get it. And then you should be able to have it. And you should be able to have it.
You want it now or you want it?
Then, no, you can just print it at any given time and then make sure that it is accessed by a member.
We'll email it to members today.
Yes.
Okay.
And then the other thing I think is that I think we just need to be careful about one thing. We can't instruct an executive authority what to do as members of parliament. We can't get into that terrain of instructing an executive authority what to do and what not to do. We can only make a recommendation and then to say no, honourable members. Let us not make noise when somebody is trying to say something, because when you say something, we try and listen. I'm saying to you is that what Honorable Kekana was saying, that we can tell the IEC to go to Constitutional Court, it can't be correct. That can't be correct. You can't tell them that no, go to the Constitutional Court. Because once you say that, and then they ask you, who's going to pay for the legal counsel to do it? Then you run stuck, because it is an executive decision making of that structure in its own independence. You can only ask them to explain what they've done with whatever you think is there is wrongdoing. What have you done? Do you think that is adequate? And then don't you think that you need to do X, Y, Z? And then they take decisions and then indicate to yourself, good to know, what is there that they've done and what is there that they can't do, and all those kind of things. So that's why I'm saying is that We will make sure that you get those particular, the court ruling, and inform ourselves. And then the question of this particular recommendation, and then we can decide next week on Tuesday whether we send it to the dustbin or we keep it. We can decide on next week Tuesday when you have actually informed yourself about the content of the court ruling and all that and what is in the nitty-gritty. Mm-hmm. So now I think we can, from my side I can say we can relax on the matter. Honorable Gumet.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. My first request would be that we have a recorded, we look at the recorded transcript of one, this summary compared to the transcript. Because this paragraph 5.6, the second paragraph,
page 18.
It is meaningless, but it is very important. Meaningless, but very, very important. This is what I'm trying to say. You see, there was irregular expenditure of 38 million rands, of which 36.9 million related to the Riverside Office Park. IEC had written to the National Treasury for the matter to be condoned, otherwise irregular expenditure would continue until the end of the lease in 2020. The IEC took issue of the lease to court and it lost the case. Now it doesn't clarify whether the it lost the case on the correctness of the agreement, on the legality of the agreement, or on the condemnation. So now that the first thing has got to be made clear, whether now it was on the condemnation or on the list. The judge found that the irregularities were not good enough to set the matter aside. I think this sentence is too general. This sentence needs to be more specific so that we can be able to take a decision. It is too general for decision makers. Let's go to the next sentence. The matter came to court very late and the landlord has already acquired the bond that needs to be serviced. What's the relevance of this justification? What are we justifying here? Is it a why? Is it a what? What are we responding to here? Other issues are that the tender was advertised for a shorter period and there were mistakes in the evaluation score. Now, that one contributed to what has already been decided before, that the court set this thing aside, precisely because of this reason. So why are we having this reason after? And I do not know this word, the Atate Ate, is it the state? The state would also have to pay twice 4 million twice for the accommodation services if moving from the current office to the new ones. What's the context? What is the context? It is not a standalone sentence. So now we've got to go back to our transcripts and get the context. The total value of the lease is 404 million over a 10-year period. A copy of the judgment will be sent to the committee secretary. That one is reasonable, but perhaps it could be a different paragraph, I don't know. The commission emphasized it needed a condonation from the National Treasury. normally if you have an irregular expenditure, which is unlawful, you go to the National Treasury. The National Treasury has a view on that matter, based on the PFMA, based on Treasury regulations, and then it states, on the basis of this PFMA section and this Treasury regulation, we advise that this be the case. Now, the problem of the IEC is that now the Treasury is taking long to make a decision. And then we are nearing elections. And these elections are not going to be easy. And they are not going to be as calm as the deepest lake. They are not going to be as calm as the deepest lake. So the more we prepare, we postpone this thing, and it gets nearer the elections, it is going to impact on the stability of the outcome of the elections. Let me promise you. And secondly, the issue of the Auditor General. The Auditor General made an input on condonation, and that input is not reflected here. If it is reflected somewhere, let us look at it and see what that input of the Auditor General was on condonation, because specifically the day before this meeting, the Auditor General had pronounced on that. Let us get what the Auditor General pronounced on that, because really, we are dealing with the reputation, the image, and the image of a very, very important independent institution, and its perceived independence can affect the stability of our country. It can affect the stability of our country. If one of the losers in 2019 says, I don't accept these results because I don't trust the IEC, we should not be one of the parties to blame. And practically, the National Treasury, I don't know what they would say, but on the cost side, the financial cost now, not on the reputational cost, but on the financial cost, you've got to pay twice for accommodation up to 2020. You've got to demolish your boardroom with facilities, electrification. You've got to remove the sophisticated IT, and then we once visited that place. They were big rooms of IT. Those have to be demolished, and then you've got to start up afresh. And you've got to have perhaps another disaster recovery site in case the IT system crashes during elections and so forth. And the machinery that is there, the generators, where they are placed and so forth. So looking for that place can take even a year. So now, are we saying as a country, we are going to pay twice as much, buy new facilities, risk the temperature, taking such an important some decisions near such high political temperature in the country? I think we've got to reconsider. It's not only money here. It's not only the regular stuff of irregular expenditure. It's about the future of South Africa. Thank you, Chairperson.
Yeah, honourable members, I think it's, you will get that court ruling coming to yourselves, and then also let's try those that can be, try and get those transcripts from the IT section here in Parliament, how the meeting went on, and try and inform yourself as much as possible that next week Tuesday in Dedima take decision. I think we can just pardon Ntatekekana may not be knowing too much about this matter, but majority of yourselves, you actually know this matter of the IEC has been reported in the committee many times. And we actually even knew exactly why they've gone to court and the reasons why they went there. They wanted to set aside the lease and all that. And even last week as well, I mean, we were there, we asked even clarity questions. They've answered us, and then we're supposed to be having more clearer than anybody else out there to be able to process this particular matter. But let's give ourselves the opportunity until next week, and let's play the game a lot more constructively. There is nothing that stops this committee or anybody else to seek relief on any matter at any given time. There is nothing that stops us from doing so, as long as we do being informed appropriately by the issues that are in front of us. Therefore, I request that, I think it has been emailed to ourselves, the court ruling, and let us inform ourselves on it. Is there any other matter that we need to speak to? We need to get off this one. We are going to discuss it next week after we have been informed by the relevant document. Gagan.
Just a second, Chair. I can't come again. Not only court ruling. Because court ruling, it will just summarize what a judge has said. We requested all the documents, including the arguments, when they go to court, what they wanted, so that we'll be able to understand exactly what is happening. That's why we said documents, including the court ruling.
Thank you,
Chair. Are we going to get off this thing? Are we going to really make progress on this matter? Because surely that if we wanted to review the court ruling, then it's another different matter altogether. Ours is not to review the court ruling. It's to know exactly what has the court said, has pronounced on the matter. And if we are going to look at the old copies of affidavits and whatever that have been filed, as argument, that means you are reviewing that court ruling. Surely, I think we are going to get stuck if we are going to move ourselves in that direction. I would really recommend that we do that. And but there is nothing that stops each and every member just simply to go to the website of the High Court and then dig those documents, look at them and inform yourself. Probably it can improve your debate on the matter. But what we need to be doing here is, what has the court said? Can the IEC abandon the lease agreement? Can it get out of the lease as per the public protector recommendation? If the court says no, then we know that IEC can't get out of it. And then if it can't get out of that building, then they have to pay their rental on a monthly basis. Then now we must now start looking at this particular issue of that payment. Is that payment is considered irregular, then you must get it regularized, because they've got no choice. So I think that those are the things. Also to understand what, because they've explained to the IEC that they went to court to get the lease set aside. That's what they went to court to set aside, that lease agreement, because the public protector has fingered it. But then the court did not agree with them. So we just need to satisfy ourselves with that court ruling. And then another process, if we talk about litigations and the rest, we want to investigate the IEC, and then we want to investigate GPW, then We can do that in another process with all other details, whether we need people to inform us and then take different decisions. But all what we just need to be wary of is what the Honorable Gumede has indicated, is to be very careful with the IEC, because you may chase this and you may cause this harm that you are not aware of, and then you find that nationally we all lose like nothing. So we just need to move a little bit carefully with the IEC, because everybody wants the IEC to be seen independent from us, from the politicians and the rest. And therefore, we just need to be a little careful when we move. I'm sure even the chair of the IEC tried to plead with that, with us and the rest of political parties last week, to say that when you raise a thing, you must be able to back it up. If it is just an allegation which you may not back up, but the damage would have been done to their integrity. And what is the other way? Is integrity or not?
Independence.
Yes, the independence, integrity, and there is another way as well. But all that talks to,
credibility.
That is what we need to protect in the IEC, for the work of the IEC to always be accepted by the role players. Because it's actually, the IEC is an independent, almost like an arbitrator in elections. And if it's not respected by the participants, then the outcome of the IEC then will be doubtful, and then we can just beat elections, which is a democratic big democratic milestone every 5 years or so in the relevant level. And I think that is what I just wanted to say, Honorable Member. And can we then resolve this particular matter at the end of next week on Tuesday? And Memnis?
No, Chairperson, at least now we are trying to summarize everything. I just wanted to know, I'm a bit confused now. Members are treating this matter as if it's a new matter.
Mm.
This thing has been there for a long time. We even went to the IEC building to check. We saw those big equipment, those big machines, and you can see that it's more or less impossible to move those things. So today I'm really surprised. It's as if it's a new thing that only came last week or last month. I really don't understand. I'm a bit confused. Also, it's very clear, Chairperson, that we need to pay twice. If we move to that building, we still have to pay for that building, and we have to pay for another building. So I think we have to strike a balance between that. And I really don't understand. It's like it's a new matter now. That's why I'm saying I'm confused, because it's been there for a very, very long time. We even went direct to the IEC to check and make a report on our own as members of parliament. So now I really don't understand what is it that we are, that is new. Maybe you can clarify there for me, Chairperson.
Okay, proceed.
Chairperson, I just wanted to say that I think this is not a new matter, as Comrade Minister have already alluded, and the Secretary is going to send us what the court has said in relation to the IEC and what is reflected on page 18. It stands as it is with some rectification, but really we cannot start the process again. I think really it's totally out of order, Chairperson. So I thank you.
Yeah, let's give us, like as I've said, let's give us an opportunity until next week, Tuesday, and probably you would have spoken to each other and talked to this particular matter, and you would probably agree or agree to disagree with each other. And yeah, I think that's all what I just wanted to say. And can I say that we are done with this report? And then, Adam, I think you'll just address the issues that Honorable Gumede raised on paragraph 5.6.
Yeah.
Just to make it just to flow.
Yeah, yeah,
yes. Okay. Yeah. Just to make it to flow, and then we'll come with the two reports. Now it's being separated with the recommendations next week on Tuesday, so that we finalize it. No, thank you, honorable members, on this particular matter. Then there is another thing which I just wanted to raise with you, honorable members. Last week, I think we distributed a document originating from the Office of the Deputy Speaker. It's about the memorandum. It's a march in support of migrants and refugees. I hope that you have informed yourself on this particular document. Please, I want to request honorable members, just go and internalize this report. And then next week when we approve this particular, because I can guess this document, this BRR is not going to take us a long time, then we're going to be able to get over both reports, actually, because we have already debated them. Then also can have a discussion on this memorandum, and so that we report back to the Deputy Speaker. Go and talk to it, inform yourself, and have a position on this particular document. And so that's what I just want to request yourself to do.
If I talk to you, just won't talk back.
Come again? I did not hear. You can press the mic there. Yeah? It's naughty. An honorable member is not allowed to be naughty. Yes, and then the other thing, I think a housekeeping matter. I'm not sure, Eddie, are you prepared to give us the one about the study too? Because there are funny challenges that we are getting.
Chair, sorry, Chair.
Yes.
Can you provide us with some copies? Because I can see some of the members, they misplaced them.
Oh, the developed folder.
Yeah.
Okay. You remember that one of them? Just help me because these papers always walk away from me. Okay. Let's have a small briefing on the study tour. I don't remember.
The study tour to Germany has been proposed for the 2nd of December until the 8th of December. And then the challenge that I have in submitting the application, which I mentioned to the chairperson, is getting quotes for accommodation, ground transport, and interpreting. Because we have to go through Delco. I've been communicating with them. Even this morning I spoke to Delco. So they said, no, they are going to be checking with their office, because they are also relying on the embassy in Germany to get those codes as well. So that's the challenge that I'm getting now from there, in getting the codes so that I can submit the application for December.
So in principle is that there are logistical challenges which may actually, I think we must be well prepared that they may derail our oversight. Why is that? In the past we have done this kind of quotations, but when you go down now practically, you find that the cost becomes almost double than what we got. then the best thing is to have the quotations right straight from the other side to us, so that then we translate them into the application to the office of the house chair. So currently that there is this dependency thing, and so that we don't find ourselves applying this side based on the quotations that may end up being short of what is required for us to move on the ground, the other side of the boundary. That is the challenge that we're having, and we'll continue to pursue DERCO ordinarily, and then to get those quotations and make sure that the application is done. Maraput.
Yes, Chair. I remember the PC Secretary said that when that first trip was planned for oversight, he said that we'll go in January. I'm surprised now it's December.
Yes, I think I'm not sure whether these things may have happened a little bit faster than some of us. You'll remember that what we said is that next year we don't know the situation that will arise between the 1st of January and February. Remember that in those first months we are going to have the school reopening programs. Then you are going to have the state of the nation address and all that. Yes, and then we said no, because of the uncertainty of the first month and or the first 2 months of January, the best thing is to for us to actually go in the November, even though that we may find the new political heads, because they've just gone to elections. Mm-hmm. But what we need to learn from is the bureaucracies, how they do things the other side. So it's in principle immaterial of the new heads of the political heads. I think that is more or less some of the things that influence us to consider the November one.
November.
It's early December. Because what has happened is that we're supposed to go towards the end of November. But then the program of Parliament, I think, has been changed until to the first or whatever of December. So we're only rising, I think, right at the end of November, or to the first day or two of December.
So we go to Germany?
Yeah. Yes, and then we between 1 to 10 December, then we try and stick it in there.
Okay.
We'll continue to try and do so, but if we don't get assistance from DERCO and the embassies, the other side, we may find ourselves staying in our beautiful country without going to... I'm sure we have seen in Germany, in Britain, people are just shooting each other there out of no reason. People that are celebrating on the street, somebody just sent bullets to people. So we don't know whether these challenges, it is divine intervention to save us. Nobody knows, because ordinarily some of the oversight, I mean study tours, there are no challenges really of going. And this one of ours, from May or something like that in early this year, it has been plagued by all this. Maybe I should ask those that go to church on Sunday to actually pray
for you.
But if it is a divine intervention to stop us from going into the danger zone, we must accept. We mustn't fight to go there to be killed. All right, honorable members, I think this brings us to the end of today's meeting. And let's prepare ourselves to finalize some of our work. A lot more efficiently. Thank you very much. The meeting's adjourned.
Thank you.
Don't go back to bed.
No, I was still in the meeting.